Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. God has blessed us with a beautiful sunshiny day again. And so good to have you here. Just want to let you know that this month we're taking up a special offering for our IBA, the Interstate Baptist Association, which will help take children into camp, which will help collegiate ministers minister into the different colleges around Oregon, which will also help our, let me read it. I thought I had it memorized. Well, there's two others and it's not on here. But anyway, it's a tremendous opportunity for our children to go to camp. A lot of times our children who go to camp either meet the Lord there or they feel called to special service like missionaries and those kind of things. And so thank you, Sandra. Oh, yes, there's an educational scholarship fund for those who are going to be going into ministry. There's help for that. There's also disaster relief. So people around the country can benefit from our help by sending people from the Northwest to those areas where there's fires or floods or those earthquakes or those kind of things. So anyway, it's an opportunity for us to serve others. And so thank you for your participation in that. There's a goal of $25,000 for this missions offering. I want to pray for our selected pastor this evening or this afternoon. Let's pray for the, well, it's not on here either. Yes, it is. It's Tillamook Methodist Church. Allegra Lynn. I forgot I was doing this until just now. Matt's not here. And so let's pray for Allegra Lynn. Father, I come before you today, and I just want to thank you for this opportunity to be here in your house. Lord, you're so good to us. Lord, we want to bless you now. We want to worship you. And God, I pray that you would hear our hearts, hear our worship, hear our prayers. Lord, I do lift up the United Methodist Church. And God, I pray that this one who is speaking today, Allegra Lynn, Lord, you would speak life through her into that congregation. Lord, I pray that you would just minister through her the message that you have for your people. Lord, don't let it come from her own wisdom or her own understanding, but come from you. And Lord, we pray your blessings upon you. Them today. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, yes, we definitely need your voice.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? The shame's done all the stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the goodness is, I know that he can do for me what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo.
let me tell you about my Jesus.
He takes away
where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And his good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Who would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Let my Jesus change your life.
All the ones who calm to wind and waves makes my heart be still. the mountains move and to the sea the nations reach, I know my God is in control. Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go with the Lord of hosts? With us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. Hope will arise. Death is defeated.
of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is no beside you. Open up my eyes.
Build my life upon your love.
rejoice, O my soul, longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And I long to worship thee. And I long to worship thee.
Father, I just thank you so much for bringing us together to worship you today. You are holy and awesome and majestic. You are so present with us right now. It's palpable. And I just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit and hover over Pastor and just embrace him as he delivers the message you've given him today. I ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds and spirits to receive that message. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will take from it what you have for each of us today. I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Great job. Well, we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper here in a few minutes. If you did not get the elements, kind of raise your hand and we'll make sure you get that. Everyone, okay, we've got a couple up here. Got a couple up here on the front. Well, a couple up here, Randy. Well, before I begin my message this morning, I would like for us to partake of the Lord's Supper. As you know, if you've been in church for any time at all, you know that what this symbolizes, and you know that the occasion in which this took place was just before Jesus' crucifixion. And he called his disciples together, and he had his last meal with them. And he wanted to show his affection to them. He wanted to show his love to them. And commemorated this time of this new covenant that he was making with them. And this is a big deal, this new covenant, that we're no longer regulated to do the things of the past, the old covenant. But this new covenant is a huge deal. And Jesus sealed this with his blood and with his body. And so the night before Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, or on the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. This is broken for you in remembrance of me." And also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is my blood, and this is the cup of the covenant. This do, and as often as you do it, remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, and it comes again." So this is a memorial of Jesus' death. And every time we take of it, we remember what he did for us. We remember the sacrifice that he made for us. But not only is it that, but it's also not just a memorial of his death, but it's also a reminder that he's going to come again. And so as we partake of this, it's kind of reminding us of God's love for us, reminding of his affection to us, reminding us not only did he love us enough to go to the cross for us, but he loves us enough to come back and gather his children into himself. May that be soon. May that be soon. Hopefully not before I finish this message. It could be, but I think there may be some decisions that need to be made prior to his coming. If he comes today, are we ready for that coming? And so we just want to thank the Lord right now for the body that he broke for us and for the blood that he shed for us. And so, Lord, we come before you today, and we do thank you. Thank you for your gracious, marvelous, wonderful gift that you have given to us. Lord, you gave your body. It was broken. It was beaten. It was bloodied. It was bruised. And you did it for us. And we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for just sacrificing yourself. Lord, you could have come down off the cross. You could have called the 10,000 angels, and you didn't do it. And Lord, you did that for us. You shed your blood so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that our sins could be purged. And we give you grace. We give you praise. We give you honor. And we worship you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We worship you as our Savior. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So he gave the bread to his disciples. He broke it and he said, "Take this. This is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same manner, he took the cup and he said, "Drink. This is my blood, which is given for you. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins." Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you. We do remember your death. Thank you for the reminder that you're coming again. And no matter what we're facing now, whatever struggles, whatever trials, whatever temptations, Lord, one day that's going to come to an end. Lord, this world is going to be rolled up like a scroll. And there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And Lord, you're going to set up your kingdom here on this planet. And we thank you and we praise you that we're going to be a part of that. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I'm going to ask my wife to come and read to us the text of our sermon today. It's found in John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. No, I'm sorry, John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24.
"But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
I'm going to ask you to read that again. This time you stand for the reading of God's word.
But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
Amen. Thank you, babe. You may be seated. So, let me ask you a question. How do you show affection? That's a kind of a trick question. I guess it depends on who you are showing affection to, right? If you're showing affection to your spouse or to your fiance or to your family members, you may give them a kiss. You may give them a hug. You may pat them on the shoulder. You may embrace them. There's a lot of different ways we show affection. Pardon? It comes from the heart. There's a passage of scripture that says, that Paul says in Romans 16:16, that greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay? And that was their culture. Greeting each other with a holy kiss, they would grab each other and kiss each other on the cheek. That's not our culture. But what it basically says is when you come together as a congregation, as a church, as a fellowship, you need to embrace one another. You need to show affection to one another. Okay? That's what he's talking about, is show affection to one another. So how does one show affection to the Father? We know he loves us. Not only does the Bible tell me so, but he's revealed that to us in our hearts. If we are a child of God, he has imparted that to us. We can experience his love in a tangible way. He manifests himself to us in a tangible way. We can feel that. We experience that. So how do we show affection to the Father? Well, that takes us to this subject of worship that we have been, that we spoke of last week. And it takes us to the definition of worship. What is worship? Well, actually, we learned last week that a worship means to kiss toward, to go forward with a kiss, to go towards with a kiss. That's what worship means. So basically, when we're worshiping, we're showing affection to the Father. When we're worshiping, we're actually kissing him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a neat way to look at it? That we're actually kissing the Father. We're kissing Jesus when we worship him. Scripture says that he is looking. Cynthia just read a scripture that says, Father is seeking everywhere throughout the whole world someone to worship him. Those who will show affection to him. Now, there are a lot of ways we show affection. One of the ways we show affection is by the things that we say, by the words that we speak. Hopefully, periodically, you tell your spouse, I love you. Not like the individual that I heard about who said, hon, I told you I loved you the day I married you, and that's good enough. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. We need to express those words of endearment often. We need to speak those things. We need to say those things. And it's the same thing with the Father. We need to say those things. We need to speak those things to him. But did you know that there are some people who can speak those things and really not mean them? There are sometimes people will say, I love you, and what they really mean is I love myself. When we come before the Father, God knows our hearts. When we come before the Father, He can see the things that are unspoken. And sometimes there are people who say, I love you, Lord, and even sing, I love you, Lord. You know that song, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul rejoice. Did you know that you could sing that without putting your heart into it? Did you know that that could just be mindless words? And did you know that we can sing all these worship songs and say all these things and it really never affect our heart whatsoever? We can voice the words, but it has nothing to do with our heart. Scripture says that the Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's a passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 29. Now, this passage of Scripture has to do with the children of Israel. And the children of Israel would say all the right things. They would speak all the right things. They had songs that they would sing. They would sing David's songs and over and over and over. But Isaiah had something he wanted to share with them, and he was trying to correct them. And this is what he says to the children of Israel. The Lord said, because this people draw near me with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me and their reverence far from me, consists of tradition learned by rote. And he goes on to say, then I'm going to punish them because all they give is lip service and their heart's not in it. That's a tremendous warning, I think, for us. I think for people who call themselves Christians, and they just maybe just say it with lip service, but they're not, their heart's not really in it. Isaiah is reprimanding Israel for their form of worship. It still takes place today. Just giving lip service to God rather than your heart being engaged. So when we sing worship songs, the Lord is not listening so much to the words as He is looking at the heart. So I want to be, and I was trying to concentrate, and sometimes it's hard to concentrate on that and that alone, but it's hard to concentrate sometimes on this is for Jesus and Him alone. I want to worship Him. I want to kiss Him. I want to engage with Him. I want to show Him my affection through the things that worship. Now, we can worship in many ways. You know, instrumentalists worship, and singing is worship, and there's a lot of different ways to worship. People can pray marvelous prayers. We saw that in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, man, you talk about prayers. They would stand on the street corner, and they would pray, and they would pray, and they would pray loud, and they would pray long. And people would walk by and say, man, that guy's a good prayer. He's just a marvelous prayer. I wish I could pray like that. But you know why they did it? It was for everybody else to see how pious and how religious they were. When I was growing up, I was in I don't remember how old I was, probably up 12 years old, and our Sunday school teacher asked for one of the kids in our class to pray. And so he prayed, and when he was finished, he was very quiet. Nobody could hear what he was saying. And the teacher said to him, said, I couldn't understand what you were saying. And he said, well, I wasn't talking to you. And you know, that's the way our heart ought to be. And we're not doing it for everybody else's accolades. We're doing it because we want to connect with the Lord. We're doing it because our heart, it wants to engage with Him. And let me tell you this, church, I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. Okay? And I want to get better at this. I want to get better at this. So we show affection by the things that we say. It's
Worship is not just saying the right things. Worship is not just giving lip service. There's something more. We also show affection by the things that we do, our actions. So worship involves our actions. We pray. We raise our hands. Every now and then I hear a shout. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And oftentimes people are clapping. Oftentimes people are raising their hands. Oftentimes their heart goes up to the Lord when their hands are raised. But there's some, and I'm not sure, I don't think it goes on here, but I have been involved in services where it's almost like, look at me. I can, you know, look how hands, how high my hands are raised. Look how loud I'm singing. Look how, look at me, look at me, look at me. And see, that's not the attitude. Our attitude is, Father, look at me. I don't care what everybody else is doing or saying or seeing. Father, I want you to look at me. Father, I want to show you my affection by the things that I'm doing. Now, Israel had a lot of religious acts that they did. And Isaiah, again, comes to them, and he corrects them in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. He says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Do you know who Sodom and Gomorrah were? They were very wicked cities, wicked cities that the Lord destroyed because of their perversion. And so he's calling Israel Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm wondering what he would call America today. And so he says to Israel, Sodom, Gomorrah, listen up. The word of the Lord is coming to you. And he goes on to say, to what purpose is this multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. Will you come to appear before me? Who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wow. Wow. Did you know? So, but if you go back in Israel's history, what you're going to find is God told them, I want you to make sacrifices. He told, that was instructions, that was commands that he made them. I want you to make sacrifices for your sins. I want you to come to the new moons. I want, there are feasts on the new moons. There's four feasts in the year. You need to approach me at these feasts, and you need to offer sacrifices at these feasts. Everything you do needs to be done at these times, at these certain times, and it's a way to get your heart right with the Lord. But do you know what? It became just a religious activity rather than a seeking after God. Now, these things, God had instructed them to do it. They were right in doing it, but when it became just a show, and when it became just a religious duty, and when it just became an act, it no longer meant anything. God said, it's an abomination to me for you to give your gifts, for you to make sacrifices, for you to raise your hands, and your heart not be with me. That's horrible. That's, Lord, help us never be there. Help us never get there. And Lord, there are many people in America whose hearts are there. They go through the acts, but their heart's not in it. Let us at this church never, ever, ever get to a point where our heart is not in the worship that we give to the Lord. May we always, always give our heart to the Lord in worship. Let us show our affection to Him and not just be about religious duty. A pretty serious rebuke. Here's Here's what Jesus says, and Cynthia read it. True worship is that worship which is in spirit and in truth. Did you know that this is the only time in the New Testament Jesus taught on worship? No other place. Now, we find, you know, in his prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, he shows worship. He shows us how to worship, but he never taught on. This is the only place in Scripture or in the New Testament that he taught on Scripture. The hour is coming, and it is right now, Jesus said, that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him, for God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. It's not just lip service. It's not just religious activity. It's a heart and a mind engaged to honor, to praise, to show affection to the God of the universe. We show affection by the things we say. We show affection by the things we do. And did you know that we can also show affection by just being quiet and listening? Probably some of the, and I'm just going to confess, some of the times that Cynthia and I have our struggles is because I'm not listening. Or she says, "Listen up. Listen. Are you listening?" Scripture says in Psalm chapter 41, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Did you know that you can show affection by listening? Husbands, did you know that you could show affection by listening? And we can show affection, we can throw kisses to God by listening to him. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Did you know what's hard to hear when your mind is racing? Be still. It's hard to hear when we're filled with anxiety or anger or selfish desires. When you get in your quiet place, is it hard for you just to be still and turn the noise off and listen? We must learn how to do that if we're going to worship him, if we're going to show affection, if we're going to kiss him. I'm wondering, are we kissing all these other things that our minds are racing in rather than kissing the Father? Psalm 41, this whole psalm, I would encourage you to read this psalm on your own. I don't have time to read it today. But the psalmist is telling us to look up when catastrophe strikes. To look up when the bottom falls out. To look up when it seems the world has turned against you. To look up. Be still. Realize, listen, realize that God is on the throne. Regardless of what's going on around you. Realize that God is on the throne. And realize that you're not. Realize that he has this. Realize that he's in control. And I know some of you are going through some difficult times even now. There's some of you who are going through issues. The doctor has pronounced things upon you. But I want you to know that God has this. God has this. Worship him. Turn your face to him. Kiss him. Even in the dark times, kiss him. Kiss him even in the dark times. Kiss him. It's hard to hear when our mind is racing. You know, when I have a troubled spirit, I like to find a quiet space, a quiet place. I know Michael likes to go to the ocean and, you know, walk on the beach. Sandra does the same thing. Sometimes I think Sandra, when she needs it, she starts painting. You know, there's a quiet space. You don't have to go somewhere, but you have to get in a place where you can be quiet. I like to go to Munson Creek Falls. That's my quiet space. When I have a troubled spirit, that's where I go. I don't go to the ocean. I go to Munson Creek. There's something about Munson Creek that just is peaceful to me. And it's a place that I can kind of let my anxieties go. And I can learn, I can listen to what the Spirit is saying, because I don't have all of the garbage going on in my head, because it's just a peaceful place. It's a place I can just release. I would invite you and ask you and encourage you to find that place that you can go to hear God's voice. And, you know, and I would encourage you daily, make that a practice. You may not, it may be your front room, it may be your porch, it may be wherever, but you need to practice that. But in very difficult times, I get out of the house and I go to Munson Creek. Find that place. God wants to speak to you. God wants to minister to your heart. We all have troubling times at times. Some, it used to be more frequent than it is now, because I think I've learned how to deal with issues better than I did when I was younger. And so I'm encouraging you, be still and know that I am God. Did you know that it's hard to hear when you're always doing the talking? Somebody said, God has given us two ears and one mouth. Maybe we should listen twice as much as we speak. It's hard to hear when we're always doing the talking, so be silent. Habakkuk 2:20 says this, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Let all the earth be silent before him. And I want to encourage you, in your prayer time, you need to listen at least as much as you're talking, if not more so. In your prayer time, when you're seeking answers, don't just do all the talking. Ask the Lord the question, and then pause and listen. Now, sometimes God interrupts my prayer. Sometimes he interrupts my prayer with a thought that addresses the issue that I'm praying about. But oftentimes I'm asking questions and then I'm listening. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I pray and listen probably more than I pray and intercede for people. Because I need God's guidance. Here's the truth. I know you probably don't believe this, but I cannot make good decisions at all unless I hear what God is saying. I cannot do it. I am an ignoramus unless I'm hearing what God says, unless I'm following him. And did you know that he said he will guide you into all truth? Did you know that? Not just some truth, but if you need answers to any questions about direction, what you're supposed to do, he says, I will guide you. I will guide you. And some of you here today have some questions in your mind about what do I do? I just encourage you, ask him and listen. But you cannot hear him if you're doing all the talking. It's hard to hear also when you're busy. Busy, busy, busy. There's a story in Scripture, an account of two ladies, sisters actually, Mary and Martha. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his instruction, listening to his teaching, gobbling it up, taking it into her heart, listening to his every word. And Martha was in the kitchen cooking a meal. And there's nothing wrong with cooking a meal. I like eating. Martha was in there. She's getting all the pots and the pans and everything else out. And she's busy, 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 busy. And she gets frustrated because Mary's not doing anything. And she comes to Jesus and said, Jesus, tell my sister to come help me. You know, you would think Jesus would say, Mary, you need to go help your sister. Do you know what he said? He said, Martha, you need to quit being so busy. Martha, you need to be doing what Mary's doing. You need to be listening. Now, Martha had a gift of hostess. She a gift of hospitality. She was evidently a tremendous hostess. But Jesus was saying to her, Mary, or Martha, sometimes your gifting is getting in the way of me instructing you. Listen to what the Spirit says. Listen to what the Spirit says. Mary has chosen the best part. And did you know that you can get so busy doing things for God that you never do anything with him? And he wants to work with you, not apart from you. Also, it's hard to hear with all distractions. So, let me make a suggestion. When you get before the Lord, turn your phone off. When you get before the Lord, turn your computer off. When you get before the Lord, turn the TV off. When you get before the Lord, get rid of all of the distractions. Because it's going to be hard for you to concentrate whenever you are worshiping, whenever you are in a silent place, if it's not silent. And some of you are familiar with this. There's, I don't know, about 15 or 16 people on a thread at the Bible study. Okay? And sometimes that ding-a-ling bell goes off every few minutes. Ding, 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 ding. And it's like, man, there's a lot of communication going on. But did you know if I have my phone on when I'm trying to have my quiet time, I don't kiss the Father very well because I'm distracted by these other things. And so so if you want to show your affection to the Father, probably best to get rid of the distractions. Otherwise, you're showing your affection to the distractions, right? Get rid of the distractions. As much as you want to see what the conversation is and what's going on, I want to encourage you, get rid of the distractions. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you an opportunity to practice this. Okay? We're going to take a few minutes and be silent before the Lord. I'm going to ask Wendy if you would come. She's going to start playing, even as I finish this message. So I want you to close your eyes. As I read this to you. After Isaiah rebuked and corrected Israel, he gives them an opportunity to repent. He gives them opportunity to be silent and listen to what God is telling them. He says this, says to them, wash yourselves, Israel. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You might say, how can I wash myself? John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and he's just to forgive us. First thing you must do is confess. Maybe this morning there are some sins you brought to church and you need to confess. And you need to repent. Some things you've done this week, you need to turn away from. Perhaps your worship hasn't been what it ought to be. And I'm going to invite you to turn your heart to the Lord, to cleanse yourself. Some of you this morning may not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And he's the only one who can take away your sin. You can't do it on your own. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. No one can do it. Only Jesus Christ. So would you this morning ask his forgiveness? And that's what Isaiah is saying. Ask his forgiveness. Turn away. Put away the sin. Stop practicing. Don't pretend it's okay. Don't make excuses for it. Call out to God and he will save you. Call out for God's mercy. You will find grace to help in your time of need. Lord, we're listening now. Lord, is there anything in my heart that would hinder my worship to you? Lord, is there anything in my heart that stands between you and me that I need to remove through confession, repentance, asking you to forgive me? Lord, reveal that to us. I ask in Jesus' name.
Be still and know that he's God. Be still and know that he is God. Be still as the storm fight, before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is faithful. Consider all that he has done. Stand in awe and be amazed. Know that he will never change. Be still.
Would you stand? Come to the front and pour out your heart to the Lord. The altar's open. I'm here to pray with you.
And know that he is God. Be still. And know that he is God. Be still. And know that he is God. we still know He is our Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love, beating for His little ones, calling each of us to come. Be still. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine. Come now before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful. Consider all that He has done. Stand in awe and be amazed, and know that He will never change. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know He is our Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love, beating for His little ones, calling each of us to come. Be still. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still and rest the soul of mine. Before the Prince of Peace, let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful. Consider all that He stand in awe and be amazed, and know that He will never change. Be still. Be still.
The Lord has been very good to us. Michael, I'm going to ask if you would dismiss us in prayer, and then if you would bless us out.
rhythm of the world. You recall us to be in rhythm. So help us, Father, to connect with you daily and to come alongside you so that we can be the sanctified people that you have us to be. Father, this is a great reminder, Pastor Brad's message, such a great reminder. Help us to be still, and spend time with you, and you will spend more than you can do. Father, pray that we would take this message in quiet and to go about our week. Help this become a permanent part of our season. We thank you so much for all the wonderful gifts that you give us each and every day, some of which we don't comprehend. They're there. You are so kind, so gracious, so loving, so patient, so wonderful. What a privilege it is. Father, I pray you would bless everyone who is here. Again, help us this week, Father, to be quiet.
Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance on thee and give thee peace.
Have an awesome day.